This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life Daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly Q&A session, wherein we answer your questions. My collaborator here is Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence. We work together these days via telemedicine, but soon to be back in our offices next week in the heart of Ground Zero, New York City, where coronavirus is hopefully on the wane. More and more things opening up. There's some encouraging signs. We have a question about masks.
We do. This comes from John. Well, masks are required to wear in public, depending on where you are and in stores. But coronavirus reduces your oxygen. That's not good.
Right.
But wearing the mask also reduces your oxygen intake even further. So I'm making the assumption that your CO2 increases, which is not good. So it should really be up to you how long you wear your mask each day. Now, I know we touched upon this last week, too.
Right.
About people fainting from not getting enough oxygen.
There was a very well-publicized case of a car crash of some person who, in a misguided fashion, was wearing his N95 mask when he was driving alone in the car.
Yeah.
And, he became disoriented.
I still see people driving with a mask on.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
And they're alone in the car. These aren't livery drivers. So
I don't know. I guess, look, if you believe that there is some sort of miasma of contagion in the air, and as you drive down the highway at, 65 miles an hour through the intake of your car, you might, some viral particles might enter your passenger compartment. I guess on that basis, okay. But, folks, it's not like, Hiroshima, Nagasaki radiation, or Chernobyl. Right. It's a virus that usually exists in closed spaces where people congregate in close proximity. When you're alone in your car, that's not likely to happen. So, unless you forget to take your mask off, whenever I get a chance, I take my mask off because it's pretty onerous. This guy gave you some readings. He actually sent us some pictures, but I don't know what to make of those readings because they're on a scale that I don't understand. So, this brings to mind, something that I think everybody should have. Now, everybody should have a thermometer. I think that's a good thing to have, a blood pressure cuff. If you want one of those fancy things that checks your heart rate, fine, but it could drive you a little crazy because, it could give you a mistaken message. They haven't really worked out all the kinks. But a piece of a nice piece of equipment to have is a little it's a pulse oximeter. And we use those in the office, when people seem to have breathing problems. It's very easy to use. You put it on the finger. It's a marvelous device because it's non-invasive, and it reads out your oxygen levels. It also gives your pulse rate. A normal, optimal oxygen saturation is about 97 or 98. Uh-huh. And that would be a healthy, young, athletic individual. But some of our patients who have lung disease, and I can think of one, and she's just a marvel of survival. She has, I would say, about 1/10 of a normal lung capacity.
I know who you're talking about. I just had a conversation on the phone with her today.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad she's doing well, because I feel such a vulnerable person, because when you have so little lung capacity, you know, anytime you even have a cold, you know, that could be the grim reaper. But she's got a wonderful spirit. She comes to the office under her own power. And when I check her, it's alarmingly, it's like 92. Mm. Now, so that's bad, actually, for a normal walking around individual. What we've seen very paradoxically with this coronavirus is people who are called happy puffers, which means that they have a very alarmingly low oxygen saturation in the 80s, but subjectively they're... You know, if your oxygen saturation, we took it down from what it is now, which I presume is like, you know, 96, 97, 98, and we took it down to 88, you'd be gasping. You would be, you know, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But there's something weird about the physiology of coronavirus we don't quite understand that allows these people to be somewhat comfortable. They're able to talk. They can, you know, joke and smile and laugh when their numbers are in their 80s. And what that has led to is it's led to a stampede to put people on ventilators, because doctors see those numbers. They go, oh my God, this person's ready to check out. You know, they're on a slippery banana peel. You know, it's 88 now. It's going to go down to like, you know, they won't get any oxygen to their tissue. They won't get oxygen to their brain. Okay. So coming to the mask, what masks do mostly is they do not impair oxygen intake. They make it a little harder to breathe, you know, because you have to kind of maybe take deeper inhalations to fill your lungs.
Breathing may be a tiny bit more voluntary than involuntary. Yeah.
But what they do is because you exhale and it doesn't dissipate, you rebreathe your own carbon dioxide. It's a little like breathing into a paper bag.
Right. Good for you if you're hyperventilating, but
but not good for mental focus and concentration and coordination, which is maybe why this guy crashed. But also, you know, as I've written about in my newsletter, there are studies that were done well before coronavirus that show that, but wearing an N95 mask, which is a very efficient mask at filtering out viral particles, it's not 100%, but it's pretty good. It's a professional quality mask that hospital workers use. That it impairs performance, and that's not great, because people in hospitals are called upon to do very delicate procedures.
Yes.
You know, they need to put in intravenous lines that, you know, into the subclavian that go into the heart. They, you know, have to do things that require precision. Yeah. And, you know, if your coordination and your ability to perform tasks is impaired by 10 or 20%, that's not good.
That's significant. That's significant.
I mean, I felt that the other day when I was shopping. I stopped using my N95 mask. I'm using a less protective but easier to breathe surgical mask. It's one of those little blue masks. It's uncomfortable, but
I'm using a bandana.
You're using a bandana. Okay, fine. That's, you know, the funny story is that it's not a joke. It's a true story, is that somebody came in with a bandana, and they actually ended up robbing the store, you know, but they were unnoticed. You know, normally somebody comes in the store with a bandana and they look a little shifty.
Right.
You know, you push the panic button, or, you know, you call 911. It's like, no problem. You know, it's just walked right up and said, you know, open your cash drawer. I don't think that's a fair trade-off. I think that there are advantages to using masks.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to Governor Cuomo, you know, and half the time, you know, I feel inspired, and half the time I feel like yelling at him, you know.
Yes.
Because he does
go on the ladder of that, right?
He goes on and on. He's that kind of, you know, person. And so he goes on this thing about, like, I wear a mask because it signals to other people that I'm going to take measures to protect you from possible contagion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in a way, there's an element of symbolism to wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And actually, for some people, they don't. That's one of the reasons they don't want to wear a mask, because they don't want to wear a mask because it represents submission to authority. You know, if the government is saying I'm going to, you know, to do this, everybody has to do this. I ain't doing it. You know, and that's, you know, that's a peculiarly American trait, I think, of, you know, not bowing to governmental authority. I mean, that's actually kind of
like they're being squelched, like they're being told not to speak, like their, you know, their First Amendment rights are being taken away.
That too.
They just feel like, it's a muzzle. It feels like a muzzle.
It kind of goes back, you know, like to the Tea Party. There's the Tea Party. Yeah. You know, it's like the Tea Party, not the Tea Party of 10 years ago, but the Tea Party of, you know, 1775. Well, they're going to tax our tea. Lexington and Concord, where they're going to grab our guns, like, yeah, let's get them.
Well, you know, another
start
problem
a revolution,
with the mask, Dr. Hoffman, another problem with the mask, especially now that we're going into warmer weather, is I don't know about you. I put my mask on walking into a store because the store wants me to. Of course, I will buy.
Yeah.
But by the time I'm coming out of that store, it's warm under there.
It's warm. It's also it's got mucus and condensation. Yeah. You know, we don't realize this, but it's like, you may say, well, I don't need to drink water because I didn't exert myself. I didn't even break a sweat. You're constantly exhaling vapor, through your lungs. So you're losing water. When it's captured in a mask, you realize how much, you know, that mask is moist by the time you take it off. It's yucky.
I want to rinse it out every night, all of that. Yes.
Well, okay. You can rinse out a cloth mask. The question is, you know, how do you deal with a regular mask? Mm-hmm. And you know, these masks are disposable. That's why there was such a shortage of masks. You know, a hospital worker who is exposed to coronavirus, they at the end of the shift they take off the mask and they, you know, throw it away because it's a one use thing. But you know, if the mask, you know, costs like $5, you know, you don't want to do that with your home mask, and presumably you don't have such an enormous viral load every time you just go to the store. So how do you sterilize it? Well, some people say, well, you know, put Clorox in it. Well, Clorox will damage it. Actually, some studies have been done. I talked about this on my show last week that show that if you apply Clorox or hydrogen peroxide to a mask, you may actually damage its characteristics. It's, you know, the material that's designed to filter can become more permeable. There is a guy, very interesting. I started getting a lot of likes on Twitter and messages, because there's a Dr. Ronald Hoffman who advocates using hydrogen peroxide vapor to sterilize masks. That's not me, but it's a guy at the University of Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of an ingenious way to do it. You know, the vapor doesn't, degrade the mask as much. It's actually been suggested that you can steam your mask. You know, don't put it in the microwave because that's going to spark, you know, because there's metal components in some masks.
Or it'll
catch fire, and then, you know, you'll burn your microwave, you'll burn your kitchen down. That's not a good idea. So definitely don't microwave it. But you can, if you have a steamer, you know, like one of those bamboo steamers, or if you have I have a steamer insert in a pot, you know, when I steam food. Steam some broccoli or something,
that's
and I don't want it to soak. You know, soaking broccoli in the water, you lose a lot of vitamins in the water. So if you steam it, you know, you lose less vitamins. Well, you can put your mask in there, and you can steam it for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And that might work. However, after many times of doing that, you will also degrade the efficiency of the mask.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, bottom line, should we wear masks? I don't know. You know, I think they work somewhat. Are they an impregnable barrier against this? You know, not at all. However, you know, I am concerned about the long-term effects on our morale and our psychology of wearing masks, you know,
yes,
in perpetuity. Because I actually, you know, yeah. It's like, you know, do I want to take a walk? You know, some days I said, I don't want to take a walk because I just want to see a bunch of people with walking around with masks. I don't know. It just it depresses me. You know, it's like.
It's depressing. We can't see facial expressions. That's part of our human contact, even with strangers. You know, it is
yeah, but
interesting.
What happens psychologically
with that? It's,
Religious veiled women, they make, I guess it's part of it is you're not supposed to be seductive, but you know, eye contact can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Not the same thing. The mask is like a muzzle. Veil. I don't know.
Everybody's going to have their own, you know, take on that. It's some ways equivalent. You know, when 9/11 happened, you know, everybody put on an American flag pin. You know, it was like a statement. It was a statement.
You know what else it is? Like driving on the LIE today, and you see "Stay at home, save lives." You know, they flash it on those digital panels that they have about. You know, the traffic, watching traffic and so forth. And then, you know, wash hands with soap and
water.
Wait, great. Yeah.
So here you are, you're on the Long Island Expressway and it says stay at home.
Stay at home, save lives.
But wait a minute, I'm in the car. I'm already violating that order. So I got to make a U-turn on the Long Island Expressway and hightail it for home?
Right, exactly. No, wash your hands with soap. That's a good one. But then it says cover your face in public. Now, that is wrong, and it's psychologically wrong, too. That's the impact. You could say wear a mask in public. You could say cover your nose and mouth with a mask, but cover your face. Yeah, I see that, and I get angry.
Well, you know, the funny part of it is that there are states that have laws against masks.
Yeah.
And some of them date back to the Ku Klux Klan era. You know, rightly so, because, you know, if you appeared in public wearing a hood and a mask, that was not a good thing. So they've had to hastily rescind those laws because now it's the opposite is the case where, anyway. Okay, folks, at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here goes. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just 2 capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
Irwin writes, can sitting in a dry sauna, about 110 degrees, help prevent or even cure COVID-19?
Well, certainly high temperatures may be sterilizing. You know, 110 degrees. Dry sauna is, and dry, actually steam may be better because steam seems to, the particles seem to grab onto virus that may be in the air and pull the particles down via gravity.
Humidity is good. Yeah.
So, you know, the temperatures that we've been having here in New York, you know, where it's, you know, cool and dry, are more conducive to the spread than hot, humid temperatures. But, you know, there's definitely something to the temperature effect on viruses. That's why the body mounts a fever for two reasons. One, when you have a fever, you know, your heart rate speeds up, your circulation is increased, but also there's an inhibitory effect on viruses and on bacteria, on any pathogen. So that's why the body mounts a fever. And that's why it's desirable to allow a fever up to a certain point, you know, until it becomes very, very intolerable or it becomes dangerous. You know, pediatricians are very lenient about fever with kids because they say, well, you know, parents are freaked out. You know, my kid's temperature is 103. Well, kids fairly routinely can have temperatures of 103. For an adult, that's a more serious problem. You know, the other thing is that fevers and circulatory overdrive sometimes cause people to have heart problems. You know, if they're poised on the brink of a heart attack or congestive heart failure, that their heart can't take it. And that's why, you know, they don't want people with severe heart problems to be in hot tubs or in saunas. You know, so can it cure? Can it cure? You know, I think that's a little bit wackadoodle to think that, you know, you can take someone with coronavirus infection and put them into heat and that's going to make it go away. You know, is it a good environment for prevention? You know, I'd much rather be in a steam room with, you know, 10 guys in the health club than being in a subway car, you know, with 10 random people. Because I think on those with the high temperatures, I think the high temperatures would have an inhibitory effect on transmission of the virus.
So, all right.
So, and actually, you know, what I do, you know, I like to exercise, and my Y has a steam room and a sauna, and you know, I'll whatever my exercise of the day is, you know, where they'll go, you know, use the weight room, or I'll you know go swimming, or you know, I may do a spin class, and you know, then I just usually pass by the steam room, you know, because I'm busy. You know, it's like I got to get to work, I got a podcast, or I got to go shopping, so I don't do that. You know, I've exercised, but when I'm sick and I don't feel like exercising, because you know, it's not a great idea. You know, if you're sick to you know exercise, I'll sometimes just say, let me go sit for 20 minutes in the steam room, or you know, because I think it has a salutary effect on the course of illnesses.
By taking a hot as you can stand it bath.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the heat may assist the body in ridding it of the virus. So, could it be a therapeutic strategy for a person with an upper respiratory infection? Sure, great. You know, use steam because steam, you know, inhaling deep in the lungs, that may penetrate. Sometimes they put a little. Something aromatic in the steam that could be helpful. Yeah. Alternatively, a sauna, you know, has that nice cedar aroma, and cedar may have some inhibitory effect, you know, on respiratory viruses. You know, that could be good.
Yeah. Well, wow. Thank you, Erwin, for that very thoughtful question. You can still enjoy your sauna.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're going to open it up to questions of a normal type, and we have a couple of those, but it's been an all COVID-19, yet another COVID-19 edition of Q&A with Layla. But that's what's on people's minds these days. So, you know, let's respond to people's concerns. Send us questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla, part of our Intelligent Medicine series. Stay safe.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.